This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Let's talk just a little bit about identity. I'm going to give you some definitions and we'll go into this. Identity is the fact of being who or what a person is. The characteristics of determining who or what a person is. To identify means to recognize or establish oneself as belonging to a particular category or group. To recognize or establish oneself as belonging to a particular category or a group. Now, there's many different areas that we can identify with. We can identify with gender. We can identify with race. We can identify with background. We can identify with religion. You know, I married into Joyce's family. I come from a very southern family, both parents born in Alabama, raised in Georgia, southern. And I entered Joy's family. Joy's family is Italian. Joy's mother was the first one born here in America. Her grandparents came over from Italy and did the Ellis Island thing. So we're talking about real Italian. We're talking about no people that break legs Italian. That's what we're talking. And so Joy's family, very Italian. Well that's an identity. And when I met her Italian family, it was Southern meets Italian. And have you ever heard about the Italian moms who put so much food on your plate that no one can eat it? It's true. And I went to eat with Joy and her family. First time I ever met her family, her mother put a plate of food on me. And I was 22 at the time, and I could eat a lot. I looked at that plate, and I said, there's no way. And her stepfather bailed me out. He was Irish, thank God. And he said, you don't have to eat all that, Alan. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord, because it was enough for four people. But it was an Italian culture and a Southern culture. And those are two different cultures. Italian culture, the Joy came from, very upfront, very vocal, very tell you to your face. If we don't like you, we'll tell you. If you don't look good, we'll tell you. That's how they are. You say, oh, Rose, what happened to you? That's her grandmother. She's like, Rose, what happened to you? You used to be so beautiful. Now you're so ugly. What happened to you? That's not how we do it in the South. In the South, we identify with being very mannerly. We wait till you're gone. And we say, oh boy, not good. So, different ways to identify. You can identify, and of course, religion and then denominations. You can identify there. You did know when we get to heaven, they're not going to be the denominations. You know that, right? Yeah. My pastor used to say they burn the tag off at the gate. And we won't identify there. We can identify the body of Christ. If you ever notice, though, you find someone who's a believer, you can find a believer from any part of the country and have an immediate identity with him right there. And just any part of the country, any part of the world. I've been in different places in the world, different cultures, different places, and find someone that loved the Lord, and there's an identity there. So there's gender, there's race, background, religion. There's school, teams. Boy, this is where you really find, people get nasty. It's like, it's your schools, it's A&M that hates Texas. Yeah, see, somebody's going to whoop. I say A&M, someone's whooping. No one else has a whoop, so there, I think. What's UT got? Anything? Hook'em. Got it. Okay. Texas Tech? Sounds kind of like a yelp, but it's a... Baylor got anything? Yeah, anyway. School, yeah, thank you. School, teams, cultural groups. When I came to Texas, I was not familiar with the rodeo culture. And I was selling Wrangler jeans. And if you sold Wrangler jeans in the 80s in Texas, there's a rodeo culture. It's a whole cowboy culture. I was so much a fish out of water. But it's a whole culture. And then you have biker cultures. Yeah. So you have different ways that people can identify. How you identify has a major impact on what's produced in your life. How you identify. If you identify, for example, positive. Maybe you've just always been, I've always been a kind. You identify as being a kind, gracious person or a giving person. That's going to impact you. The challenge is, and really gets tricky, is when we begin to identify negative. And that's not always something that we do ourselves. Sometimes that's been put on us. And then people begin to, it becomes a brand, if you will. Now tonight, I'm going to share a little something with you that back from my childhood. In the 1965 and 1966, I have to admit, I came up, I was part of what they call the television age. When television came into America and became ubiquitous along all kinds of homes, much like the internet is today. But in 65 and 66, it was television. And there was a show, and my dad really liked this one guy, his name was Chuck Connors. He did a show in the 50s called The Rifleman. And then he did one in the 60s, and what's unique is I remember the show. It was called Branded. And Branded was the story of a Western, a guy who's out on the plains of America, who was involved in an Indian massacre. He was the only one that survived, and they branded him a coward. And I believe we've got that YouTube clip. This will date you, but here it is.
All but one man died there at Bitter Creek, and they say he ran away. Branded, marked with a coward's shame. What do you do when you're branded? Will you fight for your name? He was innocent. Not a charge was true. But the world would never know. Branded, scorned as the one who ran. What do you do when you're branded? And you know you're a man.
I don't know that that's necessarily binge-worthy if you want to look it up, but but I remember as a young man, that still impacted me. I still remember them ripping off the buttons and breaking the sword. And as I was preparing this message, I thought, you know, that's been the case for so many people. So many people, because he was actually innocent. So the whole series is, he had to prove, everyone called him a coward, and he's having to prove he's not a coward. But I thought, you know, the Bible said that the enemy, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. And so oftentimes, he brands people. And maybe you can't see it on the outside, but you can certainly see it on the inside. And he brands them a victim, or wounded, or hurt, or weak. And it's something that oftentimes people have worn, and the fact of the matter is, it's a lie. That story, I've never forgotten that, so I just remember the song. But I remember Brandon. And so during this series, we're going to start to take the wraps off of the lies that the enemy tells people. And you begin to find out that you're not branded. You're free. You're a new creation. God's done some good things in you. And you don't have to prove anything. It's already been done for you. So we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to go through this. And we're going to look at, I want to take a look first at what does God say about your identity? The scriptures not only tell us who God and Jesus are, the scriptures tell us who we are. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and when Paul would write to the churches, he would often write positionally who they were, and then he'd begin to talk to them about this new life. He said, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're going to talk about old self, new self. We're going to talk about how you identify. But there's a process by which you begin to take and put off the old man, and you begin to put on the new. And the Bible refers to it as renewing the mind. It is a process. It's not a unique thing. When you made Jesus your Lord, the moment you did, the Bible said you were born again. You became a new creation in Christ. That's an instantaneous thing. But if you figured out that even though you became a new creation in Christ, you might still have some of the same challenges that you had before you were a new creation in Christ. And sometimes that's a real eye-opener to people. They're like, well, I thought I'm a new creation, and I thought all things are new. Why do I still have some of the same desires? Why do I still have some of the same problems? Why do I still have some of the same hang-ups? And if you've ever thought that, you're not alone, because all of us have thought that. And here's the great news is. The great news is you don't have to be hung up with your hang-ups. You don't have to be stopped with all the stuff that used to stop you, because you can put all that stuff off and find out who you are. And when you begin to find out who you are, you begin to live differently. But that is not instantaneous. That is a process. And the process is referred to in Romans 12. It's called renewing the mind. It said, do not be conformed to this world. Now, he's writing this to Christians. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word conformed means to be molded. And so they said there's a world system that doesn't know God that will absolutely mold you into their pattern. And if you don't transform, he said, you can be just like someone else. Have you ever met someone and they're saying, I'm a Christian, and you don't see any life change in them? And you're thinking, maybe they're not a Christian. No, no. Oftentimes, there's a genuine change that took place in their heart and in their lives. But if you don't learn to renew your mind, begin to think differently and act differently, you can act just the same way you used to act. Does it get better, Alan? It does get better. This is good. You'll like this. If you understand what you're dealing with, then it's helpful busting out. Then you don't feel, because you know what the enemy tells you? You're a lousy Christian. You're a second-rate Christian. I don't know why you call yourself, why don't you even go back to that church? You're such a lousy Christian. You got no business doing that. And that's how the enemy loves to talk some, and he does it. Talks people out of church, talks people out of going on with God, tells them how horrible they are. Why, who do you think you are? Reminds them of everything. But you have to learn how to put his lies and accusations. You have to learn how to silence them. But it's truth that silences them. So you have to know truth. So we're talking about identity. I want to give you a great example, a great pattern of someone who identified, and as you know him as John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Jesus, he was actually a cousin of Jesus, related to Jesus. He was born right before Jesus was, and his whole ministry was to prepare the way of Jesus. But John has a real unique perspective. So let's take a look at his perspective. He identified really well. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. He said, you're the prophet? And he said, no. They said to him, well, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. Now let's look at John. Remember, John was out in the wilderness. He was baptizing people, a lot of people coming to him, a lot of questions. Had not much going on in Israel for about 400 years. They hadn't had a prophet in 400 years. Now you got John, and John was a rough guy. The Bible said he wore camel's hair, had a belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. Just stop and think about that. That's all you eat. You're going to have some kind of an attitude. And so he ate locusts and wild honey, and he had a message of repent. And he had no problem calling anybody out, way out in the desert. And they want to know who this guy was. So they go to him, they ask John, and they challenge John about his identity. They said, who are you? But John knew who he was not. He said, I'm not the Christ. He said, I'm not Elijah. But they were saying that Elijah would come again. I'm not the prophet. As a prophet, again, all these were testimonies of the prophet saying there would be a prophet arise among you. And so people were confused. They didn't know who John was. They say, John, who are you? They challenged him. Who are you? And he really could have made more of himself. He could have said, well, I've got a ministry. I'm preparing the way of the Lord. And so God's called me. I'm the man of the hour. He just said, no, I'm not all these people. Now, why are you saying that? Because I'm going to get to that in a point. We're about to come up on the holidays. This will help you. Because often you get challenged. And so they're challenging on who you are. Then they ask him this, what do you say about yourself? Since John denied their assumptions, he was asked to identify. Well, who are you then? What do you say about yourself? And John went directly to the scriptures. He didn't say, well, I'm a prophet. I'm a dude that's trying to straighten out this backslidden country. He just went right to the scriptures. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He found in the scriptures who the scriptures said he was. John found himself. And so that's what he said about himself. Now, I thought this interesting. They asked him a question he didn't answer. They said, well, why are you baptizing then? You notice he never answered that question? You don't have to answer every question. And John asked, why are you baptizing then? Sometimes you're trying to explain spiritual things to people that didn't get it. He just told you who he was. He just told you what he was doing. He just gave you a scripture for it, and they didn't get it. They're like, well, why are you baptizing? And he said, I baptize with water, but there's somebody coming. You don't. You know, when you did, he immediately began to point them to Jesus. There's somebody coming that you don't know about. And when he comes, it's going to be awesome. That's a great story about John the Baptist, Alan. Well, that gives us a good pattern for us. Identity still being questioned and challenged today. Who are you? It's good to know who you're not. Ever had people say, well, you just think you're better than everybody else. Oh, you're a Christian. You think you're better. Now, we got holidays coming, folks. Families who don't get together all year will be getting together. There will be many things, and they'll look at you and go, well, I guess you're just better than everyone else. I guess you're just a judge. You need to know who you're not. Not better than everybody else. Not a judge. But I'm also not limited to what you see in the flesh. Amen. So you can begin to think, I'm going to tell you who I'm not. Well, I'm not a judge. I'm not saying I'm better than you. But you need to know who you're not. And here's another thing. I'm not who I used to be. That old man died. Well, you just think you got religion? Mm-mm. I became a new creation. I didn't get religion. So I'm not who I used to be. And here's another thing I'm not. I'm not weak. I'm not defeated. I'm not wounded. I'm not a victim. Now, if you catch that, that'll help you. So oftentimes, now listen, you say, well, Alan, things have happened to me in my life. I get that. It may have happened to you in your life, but listen, you may have been horribly mistreated. You may have been horribly abused, but you don't have to be a victim. You may have had horrible things happen to you, but you don't have to live your life as a wounded person. You may have people look at you and go, well, you're just a weakling. You don't have to buy that. You don't have to accept that. But see, again, what do you say about yourself? So that's the question. What do you say about yourself? Now, here's the thing. Your words are more powerful than anyone else's words. People have... And I know people have grown up, and sometimes they've grown up in abusive situations and abusive homes. Horrible things have been said. Horrible, unkind words have been put on people. Things that should have never been said. But I want to tell you, regardless of your background and of how you grew up, through faith, simple faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can overcome that. Someone may have looked at you and said, you're never going to amount to anything. Do you realize that word will have no power to you unless you believe that? Unless you begin to say that? Listen, what you say about yourself is so much more important than what anyone else says. Well, my ex said I'm this. Well, your ex could be wrong. Well, my parents said I was never going to amount to anything. Hey, listen, parents aren't perfect. They're not. You don't have to accept that. And what you say about yourself, we say, well, Alan, I look at my life, man, my life has been messed up. I've made mistakes. I've done all kinds of things. I'm not talking about looking back at our history. I'm talking about doing exactly what John the Baptist did. What do you say about yourself? You need to be able to go to a scripture and say, this, I found myself in God's word, and this is what the Bible says about me. Here's one thing you can always say. If you're in Christ, you can say, I'm a new creation. The old man that you used to know, that person died. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's new. But here's the important thing. It's one thing for me to say it. You need to say it. It needs to, because they're not coming to me going, Alan, who do you say the people at the Ark are? I can tell you who I say you are. I say you're more than conquerors. I say you're the head, not the tail. I say you're blessed. I say the hand of God's on you. I say you're anointed. I say you are accepted in the beloved. There's a lot of good things I say about you, but it's not what I say. It's what you say that matters most. What do you say about yourself? And say, so, well, Alan, my life has been messed up. Well, let's get a new start. And let's go to a scripture and let's begin to find scriptures. And what we do is we go to scriptures and we can begin to say, this is what the scripture says I am. Yes. Does this make sense? Yes. I know you're sitting in different seats tonight. It makes you quiet. But the idea is such a powerful idea. They said, John, who do you say you are? He found a scripture and said, he didn't say anything. He said, this is who I am. When the world comes at you and says, well, who are you? You can begin to say, I've been ransomed. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm accepted. You say, Alan, how can you say that? I'm not saying that because of who I am in the flesh. I'm saying because I found a scripture and I'm in Christ. Yes. If anyone is in Christ, you heard, we quote that all the time. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And in 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verses 30 and 31, look at this. It says, but of him, that's God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So here's the key. I'm not saying I'm a new creation because I'm a pastor. I'm saying I'm a new creation because I'm in Christ. Did you catch that? Sometimes people look at a pastor and think, oh, well, you're a pastor. You kind of got like, you have a secret code with God. And you're in a different category. I'm not. Because when you accept Christ, that's level ground. You come to the Lord, it's level ground. There are no tiers. There's not like, well, there's pastors, and then there's joy, and then there's you. And too oftentimes people see them, and the enemy tells them, well, Alan, he's a pastor. Joy, she's like a saint. You're a joke. And you have to have an answer for that. What do you say about yourself? Well, I'm not a joke. Really, what are you? You better have a scripture. This is where you need a scripture. This is where I keep talking to you about reading your Bible. Listen, guys, reading your Bible is not checking a box. Reading your Bible is finding out what God has said about you. You get to find yourself there. John the Baptist found himself in the scripture, said, this is who I am. You can begin to find yourself in the scriptures, and you can begin to say about yourself, this is who I am. And it'll make all the difference in you. Those are powerful things. And then you begin to identify not so much with being a Texan, and I realize that's like blasphemy. But I don't identify as much with being a Texan. I identify a lot more with being in Christ. Because that's the spiritual identity that I'm never going to lose. And how do you know when they get to heaven? There's not going to be the American section and the British section and the Italian section. How do you know? It's one big family. And in Christ, that's one big family. And it's eternal. And it's important. And so what I'm saying is we can begin to identify with that so much of the time. And here's the challenge. So much of the time we've identified with the past, with the failures, with the weaknesses. And that does not have to be where we identify. We can begin to identify with what the Bible says about me, what Jesus said about me. He paid an awesome price to get us. He paid an awesome price. He shed his blood. He died. He went to hell in our behalf, and then God raised him from the dead for us. He didn't do it for him. He did it for us. And because he did it for us and paid that awesome price, if you pay big for something, don't you hate it when someone treats it like nothing? You ever bought your kid something nice and have them discard it and play with the box? And you're like, I waited in line at Walmart for hours for that. And they like, and they throw it behind them. You don't go, praise God. You're like, I paid money for that. You're going to play with that whether you like it or not. You're going to. How many of you know if you bought your kid a car and they wreck it? Ooh. All the guys went, ugh. Because you paid for that, and if they don't treat it with respect, how about God, who paid such an awesome price for us, to have us come up and go, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm a failure, I'm weak, I'm a victim, and the Lord's going, whoa, 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 I just shed the most precious blood ever for you. I've done something different for you. Stop saying what you used to be and start saying what I just made you. And here's the deal. We won't change, but we're not going to get changed if we keep identifying with all the failures and the weaknesses and all the junk in the past instead of identifying with the new creation that we are in Christ. Is this making sense? I'm a lot more excited about it than you are, but that's okay. But listen, this is where the rub comes in Christianity, because the enemy says you're not this and you're not that and you're not that. And so many people are focusing on what they used to be or what they never did or they haven't been. Listen, forget that. Start all over brand new. Say, Lord, thank you. Give me just a couple of scriptures that I can go to, my go-to scriptures. How about the one we say it all the time. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are past. And God did not make you defective. If you're a new creation, there aren't any spiritual birth defects. That's right. To be continued. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for a group of people that you've redeemed to yourself, that you purchased and bought, and they're precious in your sight. Father, that they may realize the value that you place in them and the value that they are and what they are in Christ, the potential that's there. It's immense. And we thank you for it. Lord, thank you. Open our eyes. Let us behold wondrous things that you've done in us, that we're not the same that we used to be. So much more in you. And Father, we want glory. You get all the glory. I said your bowed eyes are closed if you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not even sure of that. Or maybe you had a relationship with God. You know in your heart you got away from Him. And tonight you're like, I want to come back. I want to be a part. I want to be a part of that family again. I want to be connected to Him again. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Come to the front. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. But if that's you that I'm talking to, either one of those situations, would you just wave your hand at me and say, Alan, that's me. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Got it. Appreciate your courage. Anybody else? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You're thinking to yourself, I missed my chance. No, this is where your words will have a huge effect on you, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So we're going to say a prayer. I'm going to lead you in it. And we always ask church family just to pray this prayer with us out loud. So pray it out loud so you can hear yourself pray. And we'll pray together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those that have come out of darkness into light, for those that have come back home. We're grateful for that. And Father, for all of us who belong to you, who are your children, thank you that you've made us kings and priests to you in Christ. What a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.